My kids pick on me sometimes because like half the songs we sing we've never sang before until we get up here in front of people. They're like, what do I do on this part? And I'm like, I don't know, just do something. It'll be fine. Like, just do what you do because you're better than me at what you do and it's all good. So I love the opportunity to just worship Jesus with my family. There's nothing like that. I'm gonna start with a Bible verse because that's what the formal thing to do is here. It's good. God's word is so good. It's so good. Before I read a scripture though, I want to ask everybody: am I online?
Yes.
Oh boy! Welcome. Hello. If anybody's out there, thank you for tuning in. Come on. Has anybody here, and I actually want you to raise your hand, has anyone here ever actually had a promise from God? Okay. If you haven't, that's okay. Has anybody here still had to wait for that promise? Raise your hand. Okay, so I think that's probably most of us, right? Okay. So if you've had all your promises from God fulfilled, okay, you have permission to sit through the whole service and just scroll through Facebook or read the news or whatever. But if you haven't, then maybe it's probably good to listen just a little bit. Like trying to at least one ear, you know, and if you're on Facebook, you just have grace because you're on Facebook, don't leave. So we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. This has kind of just been a real foundational verse 1 and 2 probably here. Passage of scripture in my personal life. God spoke this to me as a scripture that I really just needed to grab hold of. I think maybe 12 years ago. I can't remember the exact time. And I kind of read it, and I was like, what? You know, it's like, that's not really exciting. Like, what happened to, like, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? You know, stuff that makes sense. So that's like, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'm like, okay, I can get that, you know? Okay, so Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also in his house. I'm going to just keep going here. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. So I've been kind of like thinking about this Bible verse for a long time, quite a few years. It's just been something that's like, okay, what does this mean? Like, God, what are you saying? We just need to start, as that's kind of our center point here, because most of this is going to be just a little bit of story about like how did I end up in Huron, South Dakota on September 20th, 2020. Okay, like, what in the world? I was talking to these great people here from Rapid City. They came to Huron. I was like, so you came to Huron for... Tell me. I just want to know, why are you here? Like, because God said to go to Huron. Like, I love it. God's doing something really great here. Autumn, we kind of joked a little bit about... it just kind of came out of my little crew as we got ready for this trip. They kept saying, from here on out. And, from here on out. Come on. which I guess you've had a word about that? Yeah. Okay. So, well, we're just going to confirm that because I didn't know. Super funny to me because the kids just, you know, they just do their little weird thing and I'm just trying to herd around the group of cats. I'm like, okay, come on, guys. Like, okay, we got to go do this. Actually, mostly my wife does it. She does all the hard work. The Gathering the Generals conference for us was just, like, literally a miraculous moment, and in our lives, and it's a 20-year journey for me of really feeling like that makes sense. I felt called to ministry when I was a teenager. You know, like God did some really amazing things in my life when I was 17, 18 years old, had some really incredible prophetic promises. I mean, God spoke, and I like had no grid for this kind of stuff. I mean, I grew up in an AG church. You know, you have a message in tongues, interpretation. You get a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I mean, it wasn't really like we're going after the prophetic and that kind of stuff and those promises. You know, it was there. It just wasn't ever really a focus. And so, I mean, I had some of these really amazing words. I had some dreams as like God spoke to me about apostolic and prophetic ministry, and I kept asking like pastors and leaders, I'm like, what is this about? Like, tell me about this. Like, what does this mean? And everybody's like, are you okay? Like, what's going on in your head, buddy? Like, nobody really could give me answers for the things God was speaking to me and that season of my life. And so we were youth pastors for a little bit in Pierre. That was where I grew up, and had, you know, just a really challenging, it was really great. There was actually a revival in our youth group. God was moving. And then, you know, there's just religious stuff and things come in and don't like that kind of thing when God moves. And so it just kind of fell apart, which is whatever. You know, I always say, I'm like, I was 20. I was like super immature. I loved Jesus and I was going after him, but I just had no idea what I was really doing. And so, you know, I mean, I'm not blaming anybody, not worried about any of it. It's just like, it was just a life experience. And so that was kind of like my launch into ministry was like this initial something amazing. And then it just like dropped, just like, oh, like what's going on? Like the whole thing fell apart. Not very long after that, my dad died in a car accident. I mean, I just felt lost in life. I'm like, oh my goodness. What just happened, you know? Like, where do I go from here? And so, like, literally one day I was talking to Lori, and I was like, open a map, point your finger somewhere, we're moving. Like, like, seriously, we did this. And, you know, because I'm a little normal, you know, just... So she points her finger to Harrisonville, Missouri, which, you know, is just, like, just south of Kansas City. And so... We'd like literally just like, well, I got nothing else to do. Autumn's dad, actually, amazing guy, good job, Dallas, brought us when we were youth pastors to IHOP, the actual, like, I don't know if he even knew that it was and it was before they went 24/7, but it was the actual, like, founding of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. They did it at a conference, and so we ended up there just because we were on staff at the church at the time. And, so anyway, we just got connected with IHOP in that season of our lives, and it was just like God was just like taking us on a journey. And when we first got to IHOP, like we packed our car. We had Judah; he was 6 months old. Packed our car up, didn't tell anybody there we were coming. Just like sold a bunch of stuff and drove off to Kansas City. Showed up one day, we're like, "Hey, we're here. What do we do now?" Like, it's what everybody does, right? And then the lady in IHOP was like, wow, you guys really just jumped off a cliff. And we're like, I thought that's what the young, zealous, crazy, wild people who don't know what to do with their lives are supposed to do. Just like show up, you know, like what do you do? So anyway, Mike Bickle actually helped us find a place to live. Some guy in Canada couldn't get his visa to come through. And we got hooked up with his apartment. It was a little buggy, and you know, if you're familiar with IHOP, you'll kind of know the phrase "the dance and the dirge," and we called it the dirge. Like, we went to this place, and it was like, this is the dirge. We're living in the dirge. Like, and I just saying all that to get to this point. Actually, like, it was actually there. It was in the dirge, which is probably a little prophetic in and of itself. Like, I was in the dirge, and God started just like wrenching my heart with Joseph's story in Genesis. And I mean, I just remember like sitting in that buggy place, like weeping as I read the story of Joseph. And I was like, oh God, like, wow. Like, what why do you do that? You know, like, what is going on? Because I feel like we, as Christians, like we, and if you feel like you haven't had a promise, all you have to do is read the Bible, because there's a lot of promises for every one of you. Just want to make that really clear. God's word is full of promises for you, and God himself will fulfill those promises. He will. Like, sometimes he doesn't do it our way, you know? Like, sometimes we're just on a different journey than the one we planned for ourselves, and certainly we should get on a different journey than the one the devil plans for us, because he has a plan to steal, kill, destroy, right? And we need to get off that journey. That's clear. Like, if you're not off that journey, get off it today. Today's your day to get off the journey, because it ends in destruction. It's bad. It's not good. There's no hope in it. There's no real life. There's no real joy. There's no real peace. There's no real love in that journey. So get off. Okay, so come with us, because some of us are on this other journey. It's a lot better. Not always easy, though. So after we left IHOP, which was not super long, we were there for 2001, just on staff for maybe not quite 2 years, came back to South Dakota, and I feel like I just like went into this weird season of like just again kind of wandering in the wilderness. Like, and is it weird to say that's what God wants people to do? You know, like, is it weird to say that there's just sometimes God has a way of taking us through something that's just different than what we planned for ourselves? That I thought I was going to go to Bible college. I did. 2 years, dropped out. Like, oops. Yeah, that's me, dropout. That's probably why my notes look like this, because I dropped out of Bible college. So sorry. Whoops. Man, yeah. Praise God. I don't usually use these things. I'm just really trying to behave. Usually I get stuck on these microphones with cords, and it's kind of like my little leash, so I don't wander around too much and do stupid things. So anyway, I'm just going to say, I'm not even going to try to tell you about the next 20 years. It was hard. It was just hard. It was like, what am I doing, God? I've just kept trying to do something. I kept trying to be like, okay, I got these promises. Like, I want to try and fulfill them myself, because I didn't know what else to do. I was just like, man, I just can't wait, God, for you to do something powerful. I can't wait for you to move. I can't wait to see you just like come through like you've promised. And it didn't happen. And I tried again, and it didn't happen. And I tried again, and it didn't happen. Like, oh my goodness, I think of just things over the years that we've tried. And it's kind of funny, because I look back and I'm like, everything we tried, God still blessed. Like, even though from my end it felt like a failure, we helped start the first 24-hour prayer event in Pierre that they do before the legislative session. You know, we were joining in with the McKinley family and the Mann family, and we, you know, we were just kind of talking about having the event, and we're like, okay, I'm like, let's do 24 hours, like, go for it, like, we can do it. And, you know, I remember Autumn says, like, you know, when I heard you were going to take that on, I was just faith came, you know. And so we were there the first year. We went all in. We did 24 hours. It was kind of a big deal. Like, we'd never done that kind of stuff before in that kind of setting. And it's still going. Here you go. I showed up the first year, and then I dropped out for quite a few. It just kept going without me. And I just kept seeing stuff like that over and over in my life. I was just like, okay, let's go start something here and somebody else can have it, you know, and I'll just go have my little pity party and wonder why God's not really blessing my life the way I think he should, you know. So on this journey of trying to figure out these promises, you know, I start just like getting my mind off myself. And I take a verse like Hebrews 3:1 that says to consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. And I just feel like now I'm like, man, I'd love to just sit and consider Jesus the rest of my life. Like, I could just stop there and I'd be okay. Like, let me just sit and consider Jesus. Like, what has he done for me? Like, he doesn't have to make any of those promises happen that I felt like he gave me when I was a kid to be a good God. Like, I don't need him to do any of that for him to still just be good, to still just be Lord, to still be Savior, to still be the one who changed my life and brought me up out of a pit of darkness. I've been in a couple of them. I'd like to say over the 20-year period, I was just completely faithful, and I was all in on every season. I was all like, oh, man, I was just like that season when I just, like, you know, worked 3 years of straight night shift work and was struggling with depression and suicidal issues and sins and entanglements. I wish I could say I went through that season, I didn't have any issues, but I didn't go through it perfectly. I mean, I just didn't always respond to God right. But I can tell you with amazing confidence that every time in those seasons I turned my heart back to Jesus, he was just right there every single time. I mean, I had like a literal prodigal son kind of moment. We moved to Hawaii. One of the Gathering the Generals conferences again was some of these things have been pretty important in our lives. Like, you guys are amazing, really. Like, when I say from here on out for us, like, this is serious. Like, we went to a generals conference, moved to Hawaii, had a dream about it. Like, God did just some really amazing things through. My kids had like 15 dreams about moving to Hawaii. God took us there. It was just like a season of just real a lot of restoration for me. And you know, whenever you kind of get into those seasons of restoration where you're feeling God and he's doing something and you're like, okay, this is the moment. Like, this is going to happen now. And then we come home to South Dakota and we have a daughter that has some, like, really intense medical issues, you know, and I'm just like, what? like, what, Lord, what is this? Like Lori was talking yesterday at the youth service, like, and it applies here in how our service already went today. Like, we have disappointments. Like, we both had dreams. Like, I had a dream, literally, I saw my daughter with, like, fingers on her head like this sleeping, and I mean, God like gave us these. I mean, just, it felt like God, you know. I don't know, some of you more Bible college theological prophetic people could probably help me figure that out. I'm just gonna leave that up to you guys, but you know, I mean, it felt like it was God like stirring us, and we were praying and we were fasting, and we're just because we knew with an ultrasound before she was born, things weren't totally normal, and she's not. I mean, we love Serenity. Like, I tell people a lot, like, with her, this is like, it's one of those things that in its own weird sense, like, I love that God gave us Serenity because I have joy in my life that I would have never known if she was normal, you know? She's had some issues with her skull, had some surgeries on her skull. Her fingers were fused when she was born, and they're in the process of separating them, just in case that didn't make sense. But here's one of the things, like, when I went through one of my previous seasons it was right after the first event in Pier that we did. We had a really, really hard season. It was probably the hardest thing we've gone through ever, and I don't want to talk all about that, but, you know, I was, like, ready to build a house of prayer. I mean, I was just like, let's go for this in South Dakota. We're just going after this. God's doing something. We're building something, and it was, like, literally one day, and I just shut down, like, completely. I was just shut down. Like, I didn't pick up my guitar and sing for, like, 4 years. It was that big of a deal in my heart of what we went through. And I was like, well, forget it. Like, I mean, I really got to that point, like, you know, we talk about the death of a dream, like, died, like, gone. Like, I think, like, literally in those several years, I might have picked up my guitar twice and strummed one chord, and I was like, bleh. not going to happen. I mean, literally, like, and I love singing to Jesus, right? So when Serenity came along, I just felt like, I don't really even know how it all came out as far as just God stirring in my heart, but I just felt him put something in me that said, I'm not going to stop singing. Like, I am just not going to stop singing. Like, I don't care how much, hell I go through. Like, I am not going to stop singing. I just don't care anymore because I just don't care. God is good. My life is hard. God is good. The promises aren't fulfilled, but God is good. And now here's the part of the point of this. Like, I want to tell you why this matters, right? Psalm 100, verse 2. What does it say? That we come into his presence with singing. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We come into his courts with praise. But we come into his presence with singing. Oh, ding. So when I went through, like, the hardest stuff in my life and I stopped singing and I didn't feel God and I felt as far away from him as I ever was in my life, duh. I must be stupid. Like, no, I'm not speaking that over myself. Like, it took me 4 years to figure out that I needed to pick my guitar back up and start singing again. Like, what in the world? So, yeah, so when I made that decision to just keep singing this, no matter what life looked like, I started really investing into my family. We've kind of been on a little journey just musically. Like, I've tried to train them to worship Jesus. In 2015, I felt like God gave me a word to disciple my children in worship. And so I started, like, I was barely saved at that moment, which is really funny to me looking back. Like, I was just barely holding on to Jesus and nothing else because I wasn't going to church. And, you know, like, it was a dark place. But God said, disciple your children in worship. And I'm like, okay, sure. So we all got ukuleles. We were on our way to Hawaii. It was just cool. It was like, oh, I tell these kids now, I'm like, sorry, you get sick of hearing it, but I'm like, don't forget about me when you're playing in stadiums. Like, just remember that I let you play with me when you were really bad. Like, come on. You guys are terrible. I was just kind of okay. I'm still kind of just riding it. Just okay. Good enough. Good enough. We'll get there. Right? But these kids are just like, God's just like gifted them. I mean, it's a gift, and I want to steward that as their father. I want to steward that right because I want to see them go places I never did. And I want to see them get there faster than I ever did. Like, I don't want to see them go through a 20-year wilderness or 40-year wilderness or whatever, you know, like, I don't know. I don't want to see them deal with that the same way because if I disciple them with the things God's given me, they'll get there faster and they'll go further. And that's the point, right? So Jesus, the apostle, high priest of our confession. So here we go. What is an apostle? A sent one. Okay? Jesus was sent. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. He sent his only son. Right? Doesn't matter how broken you are, how deep in sin you've been, he's going to call you out of that darkness, and he's going to set you free. It was his mission. He was sent on a priestly mission. Okay? So he's the high priest on the order of Melchizedek. This is a lot of good stuff in Hebrews. I'm not going to go over it again. Theological, pastoral, prophetic people, you can fill in the details after I leave on that kind of stuff. It's just, it's important when you look at the big picture of Scripture, God wanted a kingdom of priests. He said that in Exodus. And then it says that the Lamb of God purchased a kingdom of priests in Revelation 5. So the big story of the Bible has to do with a kingdom of priests that God has called to himself. Priests in the order of Melchizedek, which is under the new covenant that Jesus purchased with his blood. It's a covenant by faith, not by the law. Okay, so we're we're in this covenant with Jesus, right? Okay. And we enter into the promises with two things, says it later in Hebrews, faith and patience. Oh, ouch, right? I just want it to be faith. Come on. I just want my promise right now. Like, no, it's faith and patience. You got to have both. So if Jesus is the head and we're the body, we got to be connected to Jesus the apostle. We got to be connected to his mission. We got to be connected to his purpose. We got to be connected to the reason he was sent to the world to rescue people out of darkness. Okay? Now, that was a priestly mission. He took his blood, purchased a new covenant, right? Seated at the throne of God as an intercessor for all of us. We come boldly to his throne of grace because of that, right? So this is key because, okay, here's why this matters. Our world's in a crazy place right now, okay? Lots of chaos, lots of wildness, lots of weirdness going on out there, like stuff some of us have never been through before, right? Pandemics, riots. I mean, maybe there's been a few of these over the years. Maybe some of you older people know a little bit more about some of wild stuff, but I've never seen all of this take place in a moment in our nation before. Like there is something bad going on. There's an assignment from the devil. He's trying to prevent things from coming forth, promises of God maybe for our nation, for our states, for our cities. Like, we're in a battle right now. But how do we win? How do we win a battle? Like, if we haven't gotten our promises fulfilled and we're not in our promised land yet, like, how do we get there? How do we defeat the enemy? Like, what do we do? Anybody? Just kidding. You don't have to answer that. So God kind of, as we've been going out, God kind of gave me a little word, and I think it was for us, but I think it was for everywhere we go. You know, it was just like, it wasn't just a, like, I don't feel like me and my family and my tribe, we're not the only people doing this by any means, but like God's just called us to this. But I think there's something to it, and I want to say it because I feel like, because I want to invite other people into this as well. That, often I've said to my kids, I'm like, okay, I want you to imagine yourselves like you are the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Like, what does the Ark of the Covenant represent? The presence of God, the glory of God. I mean, even it's called the Ark of the Testimony. Like, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And there was a specific way to handle that. Like, if you think of when King David tried to bring the Ark back into Jerusalem, and the Ark was put on a cart, and it fell off, somebody touched it, they just, like, bzz, dead. Like, whoa, oh my, whoa. Like, we didn't handle that right. Okay, sorry, maybe we should read the book. Right, so there was prescribed that the priests put poles through the Ark, wooden poles, and they shoulder the Ark. So four dudes shoulder the Ark. They put it on their shoulders and they carry it around. And so I want my kids to be the kind of people that shoulder the weight of God's presence in their generation, right? Like when God says to go out into battle, and he's like, send the singers and the guys carrying the Ark out first. And they just go and they just sing and carry their ark. This is in 2 Chronicles 20:22, something like that. Lots of twos and zeros, and I get them all mixed up. Like, sorry, no. You send that out, and then all of a sudden, like, the entire enemy army just killed itself. Like, you didn't have to do anything. The strongholds were defeated, right? And all we did was just sing a little love song. Like, we keep thinking we got to make our promises happen. We keep thinking we got to fight these battles in our own strength, and they keep not working. And I'm just telling you, there's a way to get it to work. Like, sing a little love song to Jesus, because everything starts to change when his presence comes. Come into his presence with singing. So that's a good story. But the specific word I felt like God gave me was actually related to Joshua. I can't imagine trying to follow Moses' leadership, right? Like, big, big deal. Big promises, big wilderness, big waiting season in Moses' life. Like, big miracles. Like, really intense stuff. Like, stuff that we've never seen. Big stuff, right? And Joshua's going to lead these guys into the promised land. Promises, get that? Just catch that. Okay, he's going to lead them into the promised land. So what does God tell Joshua to do to get there? He's like, okay, this is in Joshua chapter 2, 3, 4. Okay, if you want to look it up, go ahead. He's like, consecrate yourselves first. That's important. There's some consecration that needs to take place. We got to get our hearts right. We got to get our lives right. We got to go through these processes of, for some of us, you know, 20-year chiseling of bad character out of our lives, and it's not easy, but it's worth it. Okay. So he's like, consecrate yourselves. We're gonna cross over the Jordan River. And so what does he do? He's like, get the priests. Okay, what are the priests going to do? They're going to shoulder the ark. They've got to be able to stand under the weight of the ark. Like, you got to do this. If you don't have strength to shoulder the weight of the ark, it's going to fall. And you're going to reach your hand out and try and touch it and save it. And it's going to turn out bad, right? So when it's time to enter the promised land, we send the priests out into the river. And when the feet of all the priests get out into the river, the water stops, okay? The water stops. All the water that was there goes down. I don't know how long this takes. I'm guessing it's miraculous. So it says they stood on dry ground. That's pretty amazing. The water was still building up somewhere up the road, right? I mean, it was just... I can't imagine the deluge of water that happened when they left. But listen, like, those priests stood in the middle of the river on dry ground while that entire generation of people walked by. And if you look at the numbers, it's like 1 million people. I don't know. Maybe more. Like, they stood there with the weight of the ark on their shoulders while their entire generation went into the promised land. The entire nation of Israel, the entire generation of people who what had faith, because all the faithless people died off. Is that bad to say? like we need to put ourselves in that place where we value the presence of God, where we value ministering to the Lord, where we value coming into his presence with singing, because that's what's going to open the door for a generation of people to get into their promised land. God's not going to do it because we're cool, because we have good ideas, because he gave us awesome prophetic words, right? I mean, that's not why he's doing it. He's going to give us those things because he's a good God. And he's going to fulfill his word because he's a good God, because he's faithful, because he's true. That's just who he is. He's not going to do it our way just because we want it done our way, right? So, look at where we are in our nation, okay? It's kind of messy. It's kind of messy right now. Things are kind of weird. Like, I lost my job. I was going along. I was a flight paramedic for 10 years. I was doing great, had plenty of money, you know, most of the time even with my big family. Like, bought a house, bought a big white van, all this great stuff. Serenity came along. I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's too much stress. So I left that job. Miraculously, God opened the door for a different job. Way easier. Day job. No night hours. Like, no emergencies. No people dying all the time. No crisis constantly. So low stress, easy job. God opened that door for me. I went through it. I was like, come on, Jesus. Like, thank you. Like, finally, something works here. Woo! So I worked there for 2 years, and all this stuff came along, and all of a sudden, just like, gone. I haven't worked a normal job since March 26th. And I felt, you know, like God actually said, when I left work on March 26th, it was right before Passover, I really felt like God was like, consecrate yourselves. Like we were just tuning into some of the things we do with Awaken the Dawn, with IHOP, because we have that in our history. And God was like, consecrate yourselves. Like, get your heart in order. Get your home in order. Just do some things in your life to just prepare yourself. And I'm like, okay. He gave me these words, abide, hide, ride. I'm like, what does that mean? I don't know. I was just on John 15, abiding anyways. And I feel like you kind of always stay in that place. You never stop abiding no matter what happens. But the hiding season was just like a consecration moment. But I felt like before we went into the like quarantine of pandemic, I was like, God was saying, the time to ride is coming. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, like, I don't know what that means. But, you know, probably my faith wasn't really like, yeah, let's do this. I mean, I was like, okay, whatever you want, God. Like, you make it happen, because I can't. Like, you just do it, because I'm like, I'll say yes. That's my part. And then you just do the rest. So I started just picking up little jobs, painting, staining. I was working on a barn. Over the years, we've had some really amazing prophetic words about barns. We lived in Hawaii, and some guy, like some Puerto Rican guy, came over and like prophesied to us about having a barn and doing all this stuff with youth and whatever. And I was just like, there ain't barns in Hawaii. Like, come on. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. But it was spiritual, right? Whatever. I was like, okay. So, and I had a prophetic word about butterflies and some things with that. In Bible college, before I dropped out, it was going well for the first 2 years. So over the years, like, God's spoken to us about butterflies and barns and some things, and so we were out working on a barn, and like the first job I got after I left my real job was to do a little work on a barn restoration. I was like, okay, cool. And Lori's like, do you realize what you're doing? I'm like, I'm working on a barn. Like, I don't know, what am I doing? You're working on a barn. I'm like, oh yeah, like that's super cool. Is that not prophetic? I was like, cool, okay, so I'm working on a barn. I'm like, this is great, like getting paid to work on a barn. It was actually really special. It was a really special time. Something happened in our family when this transition took place. Like, all of the work that I've done has been with my family. Like, we do what we do together, and it's been a really a gift from God, and it started with that barn. But a day came in June, after several months of just kind of weirdness. I was feeling really weird, because so the guy who's paying me to fix up his barn is paying me to paint a picnic table that he's giving to me. And I was just, like, feeling all weird about it. I was just like, okay, God, like, what is really going on here? Like, I just feel lost. I was, like, kind of feeling a little depressed that day again. I was just like, what? Like, what is going on, Lord? Like, none of this makes sense. And so I'm sitting here working on a picnic table that I'm getting paid to fix to give to myself. Just God does stuff like that. I don't know. Just go. If he does it, just go with it, right? So I'm sitting there. And a butterfly flies by me and catches my eye. And I'm like, oh. And it flew into the barn. And it flew around in the barn. And I was like, that's interesting. Like, what does that mean, God? And I just was like, okay, change is coming. And so a couple days later, I officially lost my job. The next day, we officially were asked to do a regional role with Awaken the Dawn in Tent America. And when God said that, I just felt like I was like, okay, let's go after this. We're going after this with all our hearts. Like, I don't care what the past looked like. I'm just saying yes. And so we started going out and traveling and doing worship in a pandemic, because why not? Because God doesn't call you not to go out and do worship when it's easy. He's like, I said yes. And so he's like, okay, go. Like, I'm the apostle and high priest, remember? Like, I got this. Like, here, go do this. So we traveled around our little region, did some worship events. It was amazing. Like, I had no money. I mean, like, literally, I think we went to an appointment in Denver for Serenity, and somebody gave us $100. The hospital gave us gas cards for our trip. I'm like, this is how I'm going out in ministry, right? I was like, okay, let's go. But everywhere we went, I didn't ask for anything, and God provided like abundantly every time we went out and did this kind of stuff. And so when we came to the gathering, the General's Conference, like we were 3 months behind on our house payment. We were in a pickle. Like it wasn't looking good. And I just kept feeling like God's like, don't get a job. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, I was still working, doing some painting things. I'm still working on the side. I'm hopefully going to finish the barn this next week, which is prophetic, hopefully. I'm believing for it. I can't see it, but I believe it. Okay. So when we came to the General's Conference, like, we had 10 or 11, like, I think literally we had $11 in the bank. I mean, like, literally, when we left the house, we left late, because, of course, we have a lot of people that have to go to the bathroom and whatever. Like, we left late, and there was a $200 check in the mailbox, which we would have missed if we would have left on time. So we, right? So we're like, okay, mobile deposit that thing. We need it. We got to get going, you know? So we get to the conference, and I'm just like, you know, I have to be honest here. I'm like, I spent my life, and I've had like a lot of prophetic words, and I just was like, whatever, God. You know, you kind of get to that point where I'm like, thanks, but like, are you going to do this? You know, and so I was like trying to engage my faith when we came to this conference. I'm like, Lord, if there's anything you want to say to us, now's a great time. I know it's not my way to boss you around and tell you how to run your universe, but now's a great time. So we had no idea. Like, I just came to just worship Jesus because that's what I do. I come into his presence with singing, and I just keep doing that because that's what he keeps telling me to do. Every time we come into his presence, we put his ark on our shoulders, and we pray that moment is the moment that somebody gets into their promised land. Like, it doesn't have to be a moment that just, you know, like, for the Israelites, it was a moment. But for us, every time we shoulder the ark, it can open the door for people to get saved, to get healed, to get delivered, to get transformed. And that's why worship's going on around our nation right now. Because God's doing something about this priestly ministry that he's raising back up to shoulder the weight of his glory in our nation. Because that's the only hope we really have. So when we came to the General's Conference and we got an offering, and I'm guessing some of you guys sewed into that, and I just have to stand here and say, thank you. Thank you. Like, even if you didn't, thank you. If you prayed for us, thank you. Because this is like promises 20 years in the making. And when Autumn said she wanted to commission us, I mean, like, I don't know how much you really figured out of what was going on. She's just like, yeah, she's like, I feel like we need to commission the Bruces. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, we walked out of that conference with like literally $10,000. Like, praise God. It went from 10 to 10,000 overnight. Like, literally, like, I mean, that's what God does. It's how he works. I had signed up for unemployment, which was completely failing me. Sorry if that's a bad thing to say online. I hadn't gotten a payment for, like, 2 months. 2 days after we got home, I got payment. Like, for all of the time that I had missed. It's a pretty good check. So it sounds like a lot of money, and it is a testimony to what the Lord's doing, but we were behind. Like, I mean, God caught us up. We had our moment of, like, if you don't help us, if you don't make a way for us to cross in the promised land here, like, it ain't happening. Like, we're going to fall apart. But I felt determined in my heart. Like, I was like, it doesn't really matter. And so in this season, God has called us to do some things that may look a little funny on the outside, right? Like, I'm still going to work a little bit here and there when God opens doors, and he's been doing that. Like, I'm not against working, but I felt like he specifically said to pursue your calling. Like, go back to that. Go back to what I called you to at the beginning, because I still remember my promises, right? I still remember my promises. So we're on a mission this season. We feel like our nation's in crisis. We feel like there's a lot of things that could go really right or really wrong if we don't get it right in this season. And so we feel like God's called us Very specifically, there's an event you guys are coming to in Kansas City. We're going to go to that. We were invited to come lead worship there. I feel for a lot of really personal reasons for us. That's like a really significant event for us to be at. But in August, God started really stirring my heart about going to Washington, D.C. Like, I was like, okay, whatever. Like you say it, I say yes. Like, help me out here. I don't know what that means. So we're going to go to David's Tent, D.C. Actually, when we were leading our first worship set here at the General's Conference, somebody came up to us after the set and was like, hey, have you ever heard of David's Tent, D.C.? I'm going to give you some money for that. David's Tent, D.C. is a little tent, kind of like what we do with Tent America stuff. It's on the National Mall, like just off to the side. And it's based out of a YWAM base. And so basically they're doing kind of a similar thing that we do at Awaken the Dawn or Tent America. It's an IHOP style, like prayer and worship tent now. They were strictly worship for a while. They're adding a little bit more into it. But basically it's just their day and night. It's been going on for 5 years. Right there in the nation's capital. And the heart and the call of that is to be a presence-centered nation, that the presence of God would actually be at the center of how our nation is run and make decisions and those things. And I think, and if you're not paying attention, I'll bring you up to speed here, we're in a crisis, okay? And what happens in this fall is like critical. We're on a mission critical season to just be like, what kind of culture do we want in our nation? Like, where are we going? Like, do we want a great awakening? Do we want freedom? I mean, come on. We got big questions that we've got to answer as a nation of people. And so we're just saying yes. Like, God called us to go to Washington, D.C. and stand in the gap with these people at David's Tent, D.C. I didn't even know they were going to have an event. They're having this event 45 days leading up to the election. They're calling it the Gathering Storm. They're trying to get young adults to come and intercede on behalf of their generation, on behalf of where our nation's future is headed. I didn't know that. I just said yes. Okay, like God's like, Washington, D.C.? I'm like, yeah, Washington, D.C. Like, I don't know what that means. So we've been on this just unfolding journey of just like, okay, where's God taking us? And he is, I feel like, honestly, Winter gave us a little word this morning before worship. Just burn the plow. And I was like, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Like, come on. If it ain't burned already, it's going to be burned now. Like today's the day. Like, we're going after this. I have no idea what's going to happen after November, honestly. I mean, I feel like God's given us some really specific direction, some focus to pray for our nation, to stand in the gap, to intercede, to bring the youth into it. I mean, I don't know if we're going to make it home. I'd like to say yes. I'm going to believe that God's saying, I'm planning for an exit strategy. Like, if I get a dream and God's like, okay, take everybody down to Egypt because they're going to try and come after you. Like, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what's going to happen after the election in November. But I know God's called us there. And I know he's called us to shoulder the weight of his glory. And I know he's called us to invite everybody else to do that too. Because it isn't just about us. But this is the moment where I have to make a decision. Am I going to step out of my past, out of the disappointment, out of the things I felt like I failed at my whole life? Am I going to step into God's promises? And I'm saying yes. Like, do it. Do it, God. Do it, God. Do it your way. Like, I don't have, it just doesn't have to be my way. It doesn't have to be my thing. It's just God. And so, if you want to partner with us, all I'm going to say is, please do. There you go. We're going to sing a song, I think. And then I think we're going to do some baptisms because, man, that's so exciting. I'm just so exciting. It's so exciting to see young people give their hearts to Jesus. Like, there is nothing like it when God transforms a life at that season who's been in a little bit of darkness, maybe a lot of darkness sometimes, and he calls them out into his light. And so when we sing, we're doing that. We're just saying, come and join in. Come and join in the Father's house. Join in the family of God. And so we're going to sing a song of blessing over you guys because we want to leave you guys with a blessing. I mean, I don't... I don't have much to give, but I have Jesus, so he's everything to me. I hope he's everything to you. Yeah, there's. I don't really know much about Facebook, but we have papers, I think, out here. It talks a little bit more about some of the other things we're doing, and so, you know, we just love to partner with people. Like, we really like relationships, not just like donations. I mean, donations are great, but this is about people, and so we want to build relationships.
Yeah, so get up on there, write down your email if you want. Yeah, they're awesome, aren't they? And get on their email list. And then if you want to be someone who like gives even monthly to them, get one of those sheets. But right now we're going to take up an offering for them too. You guys can come on up. It takes a little while to get into position anyway. I was just going to have, I had a jar back there for anyone who wanted to give. I thought, nah, let's pass the basket. And we want to partner with the Bruce family and bless them. I just want to affirm there's seasons in your life where really you stop everything and you just follow the presence of God in that moment and do what he's told you to do. And they're in one of those seasons where God's using them. Prayer and worship is the most powerful thing for change in our nation, actually. And so let's stand up right now because we're going to worship the Lord. But also, ushers, you can just come up. As we're worshiping, we're just going to pass the basket. If you want to bless them this morning, and the church is going to add to whatever is given this morning to give them a really good offering, we want to bless their... You know what? Do you know how much it costs? I know what it's like to go for a weekend with my family of five to Sioux Falls. Forget that. One day in Sioux Falls. Like, we're just going to Sioux Falls for the day. It should be really cheap. And like a vacuum to your pocketbook. You're just $200. So, you know, they've got a big family, got a 15-passenger van. I'm sure that thing makes a solid 10 miles to a gallon or something. At least they could all fit in it. So let's just bless them. 16? Actually, 16 is pretty good. Yeah, praise the Lord. So we're just going to worship the Lord. Let's end in a time of worship. Then I'll come up and we'll dismiss and do baptisms right outside. Lord, we want to bless the Bruce family. Lord, I pray you just lay on our hearts what you want us to do, Father. We just want to partner with you and just be obedient. Like, no pressure, Lord. We just ask you to speak and we obey. You speak, we obey. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And when we start worshiping, I just really felt like... as Chris was talking, that if there's any of you that feel like you're in a wilderness season or a hard, just anything difficult, you know, come and you want to come out of that season into your promised land, that this is your time, because it's not just us, it's for everybody. And so just really believe in faith that you can also just worship God right now with us, carry the presence of the Lord on your shoulders and step into your promised lands as well, because this is your altar call. This is to say, yes, Jesus, I'm leaving my past behind. I'm leaving the disappointments behind. I'm leaving the misunderstandings and whatever it may be, and I'm going forward into my promised land.
your family and your children and their children and their children.
Just sing it again. May His favor.
May His favor be upon
in a thousand
and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your families and their children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you. He is with you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 He is for you, yeah. Amen. 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 Amen.
Everybody's going to raise their hand, right? Raise up your hand. I want you to turn to the person next to you. Get with two people. I want you to take turns, and I want you to just speak a blessing over their life. And even if, can we just put up the first verse of this? The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, cause His face to shine. Can you put that up? Leave that one up there. Because if you're like, man, I've never spoken a blessing, just speak that over them, okay? And just declare there is power in our words. And there is things you read in the Bible. There's moments when somebody pronounces a blessing over another and everything in their life changes from that point forward because the favor of God comes upon their life in a significant way. So I just want to bless one another. So just go ahead and do that right now. I'm just going to give you a minute or two. They're going to just keep playing and singing. But actually, yeah, take turns and pronounce a blessing over another person. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord protect you.
And keep you.
May you love the Lord with all your heart, all your days.
Be gracious to you.
May you be filled with the Holy Spirit. I bless you in the name of Jesus. God bless you. God bless you in the name of Jesus.
Lord, turn.
Lord, we release your blessing right now over their lives. We release blessing right now, God. We call forth a shift in their life, God, a blessing. God, we call forth a shift. Bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Open your eyes. Turn you from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. Your sins be forgiven.
You are favored.
We call forth a shift. We bless you in Jesus' name.
their children. His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.
The Lord bless you with great marriages.
Be upon you.
The curse of divorce may it be broken over your family line. May your blessed marriages take over your family line. I speak redemption. I speak healing. I speak restoration. Brokenness go. Wholeness go. There's a shift happening right now. Those who are getting baptized today, it's like old is gone, new has come. You're going to see such a shift in your life. Like the old sinful self that was under that curse is going to be buried and gone. And the new righteous self that loves Jesus, knows Jesus, and is blessed by Jesus is going to just come bursting forth. Oh, we thank you for your redemption, Lord, and new life. I want to speak a blessing over the city of Huron. Father, we bless the city of Huron in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just declare right now a shift over the city of Huron, that your wilderness days are over in Jesus' name. That your days of being in the wilderness and being tried and being tested in hard knock after hard knock are over, and we call you forth into your promised land, that from here on there will be a great awakening, a great revival center, God, like a pure spring of the Holy Spirit that springs up in our city and washes over the state and the surrounding region, that you would raise up Huron as a blessing, as a stronghold of righteousness in the region, of a fountainhead of Kingdom of God blessing and revival and salvation and equipping, God, to the surrounding region. God, we declare right now, we bless Huron, that from here on it would be blessed and the curse would be broken, and that it would come forth in righteousness. In Jesus' name. Just declare that Huron would become famous, God, not just for our own stuff, but we would become famous for the things that Jesus does here. God, that we would become famous because of Jesus and for the glory of Jesus. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Everybody say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. We're going to have baptism now. So we got tank out there filled up with water. Those of you who are getting baptized, I'm not even, how many do we have getting baptized? I know Kaylee's getting baptized. Boston's getting baptized. Jaron, you're going to help me, right? Good. All right. And anyone else? Okay. So we got that. So if you guys want, you guys can maybe just go into a restroom, change into whatever you're going to get baptized in, and then come out and we'll all stand by the cow tank out there. Never had a cow drink out of it before, just so you know, so be at peace. Yeah, so we'll go out there and we'll do that. And so yeah, you can go change clothes and we'll meet out there in about 5 minutes and do the baptism.